The Old Testament reading for Thanksgiving is from Deuteronomy chapter 8. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothing did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. You shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 20. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In every and any circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours, according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To God and Father be glory in forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th chapter, please rise. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers, who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now this man was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." O Lord, have mercy upon us. Our sermon text today is Luke chapter 17, 11 to 19, the gospel just read. The sermon title is The Thankful Samaritan. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our gospel lesson this morning is the story of Jesus' healing of the 10 lepers. It is the standard gospel for Thanksgiving Day, but also found in the traditional lectionary as the gospel for the 14th Sunday after Trinity. There are many stories about Jesus' healing in the gospels, and there's a good reason for that. Since wherever Jesus went, he was sought out by the people for healing of their sick, their disabled, and even their dead. In some places, he healed everyone that came to him. For example, Matthew reports, "Many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word, and he healed all the sick." Matthew 8:16. The only places where he did hardly any healings were places like Nazareth, where few believed that he was the Messiah. That's from Mark chapter 6, 5 to 6. Why did people believe that the Messiah would have the power of physical healing? It was because the prophets of Israel and Judah foresaw this as one of his unique and outstanding characteristics. For example, Isaiah prophesied, quote, "Surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our sorrows." Isaiah 53, verse 4. Jeremiah prophesied, "I will bring health and healing to Jerusalem. I will heal my people and will let them enjoy abundant peace and security." Jeremiah 33, verse 6. So the Jewish people, those who look forward to the coming of the Messiah's appearance, knew that his power of healing would be a sure and certain sign of his identity. When John the Baptist was in prison and expected to be executed at any time, he wondered about Jesus' identity. After all, he had known him as a child. So John sent two of his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the Messiah or whether they should wait for somebody else to appear sometime in the future. Jesus replied to the two disciples of John, quote, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor." Luke 7:22. These physical healings were the sign that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, and the rightful heir of David's throne as King of the Jews and as their Messiah. The proper interpretation of this gospel considers the entire action of both the 10 lepers and Jesus. The 10 lepers, when they saw Jesus, prayed to him, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." If faith in God was the cause of their healing, then they would have not needed to beg Jesus to have mercy. They could have simply prayed to God and then have been healed. I am sure that these men prayed to God every day for healing as their bodies grew weaker and weaker. But until they met Jesus, they were not healed. We can be sure that the 10 lepers had heard by word of mouth that Jesus was a healer sent from God. They may have also heard rumors that he may be the Messiah. The news of Jesus' healing and his identity was gospel to them. It was good news. It meant to them that their prayers to God could be fulfilled by the grace, mercy, and power of God in Jesus. So they looked for Jesus. They asked people where he was. When they finally met Jesus one day, the 10 lepers knew that they did not deserve to be healed, so they asked Jesus to be healed by grace, that is, by God's undeserved mercy. And that is what their prayer means. They said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us." The faith of the 10 lepers was an instrument, or more properly, an instrumental means by which they were healed. But the cause of the healing was the power and mercy of God in Christ Jesus. If the 10 lepers had not sought out Jesus and had not prayed for healing, they would not have been healed. So the cause of their healing was Jesus himself. Without Jesus, they could have never been healed. Now this explains why God is the cause of healing and other gifts today. When you pray to him, your prayers for healing, which, by the way, we have prayers for the sick every Sunday morning, our prayers for their healing is not the cause of the healing. They are instruments by which God's gifts may be received if such healing is according to his will. God is not a vending machine for healing, for prosperity, or other gifts. According to his grace and mercy, God heals some people when and where he wills, but it's always a gift. He does not always answer prayers with his healing. If he did always answer prayers that way, then healing would not be a gift, but your due. Since God is the grantor of the gift of healing, when it is received, the proper response is thanks and praise to God. Now, in the story of the 10 lepers, only one man who received the gift of healing gave thanks and praise to God and to Jesus. And this man was a Samaritan. That may have something to do with why he gave thanks, and the others did not. Samaritans knew that they were outside of the covenant. When the Jews received God's gifts, they may have thought that it was their due because it was part of the covenant. The Samaritan may have been the only one who realized that his healing was solely due to God's grace and mercy as a gift. When you receive the gifts of healing or other blessings from God, you should not think that such gifts are what God owes you. God owes you and me nothing. Whatever we receive from God, whether that is a spiritual or a temporal blessing, is always a gift. As miserable sinners, we deserve nothing but temporal and eternal punishment, as the words of our confession of sins state at the beginning of the divine service. If you receive gifts from God, then at the very least, you owe God thanks. It's the same principle as when your mother told you to write thank you notes for gifts that you received on your birthday or Christmas. Giving of thanks to God for all of his gifts should be on a daily and weekly basis, and not just on this day. It is one of the reasons that we come together for worship every Sunday. And so, with all the blessings we receive, where are all those people on Sundays and other days when Christians gather to give God thanks and praise? Well, from the evidence of church attendance these days, and I don't mean here, I mean throughout the country, we might conclude that either Christians have become less thankful than previous generations, or there are simply less Christians overall. But then, does God withhold his blessings simply because many people don't give thanks? No. God continues to give us his blessings. What this should teach us is that God remains infinitely patient with everyone. He puts up with ingratitude, and he continues to shower his blessings on both the good and the bad and the evil, whether they give thanks or not. On this day, we not only give God thanks for blessings we have received as individuals, but also blessings that we have received as a nation and that we've received through being a part of this country. The story you know, I will repeat. In 1620, a small group of English Congregationalists packed up from their homeland and headed to the New World in search of religious freedom. Calling themselves the Saints, they headed to what is now Delaware, but they landed in Plymouth in December after being blown off course by a storm. The colonists first encountered the peaceful yet cautious Wampanoag Native Americans the following spring. At the time of the first Thanksgiving, the two disparate groups, the English and the Wampanoag, were attempting to find some common ground to live together in the same land. In April 1621, both had signed a treaty pledging to come to the aid of the other in case of attack. After losing nearly half of their settlers to sickness during the first winter in America, the English were teetering on extinction. And the Wampanoag weren't far from that reality themselves. Between 1616 and 1619, diseases that had been carried by the European colonizers killed up to 90% of New England's Native American population in an epidemic that is now referred to by historians as the Great Dying. Greatly weakened, this tribe also needed help fending off incursions from the Narragansetts, a rival Native American group. The first Thanksgiving feast in the fall of 1621, 400 years ago, think about that. We're exactly 400 years ago today. It was what we like to have, a potluck. The English immigrants brought wild fowl, which probably with their little, what do they call those muskets that they had with the wide brim? You know, they were out shooting the ducks and the geese that they could find, maybe a turkey. And the Wampanoag brought wild deer for the same. It was intended as a harvest festival, giving thanks to God for the good harvest of the crops that year. And the good harvest promised survival through the winter and future success as a colony. It became an opportunity for the English to give thanks to their God that they'd found a place to settle, where the natives were peaceful and cooperative. News of this successful settlement traveled back to England, and that opened the floodgates to immigrants from many European nations, and we're all immigrants, unless you're Native American. And the rest is American history. May our Lord grant us his grace, that we remember all his blessings to us as individuals and to us as a nation, so that we give thanks to our Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. In Jesus' name, amen.